This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
My voice is way better. It's a Sextonless Jaguars This Week. It's Jeff Lagerman here.
Sexless.
Yeah. Sexless. Okay. We go with that. It's me, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic.com Ketchman back. All freshened up from a week of rehab, and not the chemical abuse kind.
No, sir.
Rehab for your heart, and did you good?
I can see. Yeah, I do this every year. It is a tradition. Has been a tradition that right after the season I get away. I did it. I really needed it this year. I've had some events,
to say the least,
in recent weeks, and I needed to. Find myself.
Well, and I'm sure you got plenty of commentary from having a week not to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure you did while you were in rehab, aka green grass, white
balls.
Yeah,
no, I went golfing. I went golfing. I go golfing every year at this time. We have a group.
Weather was good.
Weather was fantastic, and it's a very, very simple thing. I don't do anything but get up, play golf, and then sit the rest of the day and talk. And it's just, I don't know what it is. It's always been my way of ending the season and starting a new season. And, mm-hmm. and I come back refreshed, and I really feel now like I can start a new season, which is, I don't know if you can say the Senior Bowl kicks off a new season.
But no.
The Combine does that for me.
Well, we got a lot of things to talk about, and obviously the title games this past weekend were fantastic. I really enjoyed the second game.
Yeah,
the Jets-Colts game kind of had me on pins and needles there at the end of the half. We've got to get into the Senior Bowl. We're going to get into the Pro Bowl. We're going to get into coaching changes for the Jaguars, and let's start there.
Okay.
Because certainly I think some of them were – unexpected, if you could say that, because, you know, Jack obviously has gone through, 19 coaches since he's come here in 2003, and two of them were considered two of his most trusted advisors, and Kennedy Poehler, the running backs coach, who's a fantastic coach, and I give him great credit for what he did with Fred Taylor late in his career. And then also Mike Tice, assistant head coach, went back to coach offensive line. And a quick comment from me on that with Mike Tice.
Yeah.
I see that. I see that with Mike, because Mike is a – if you look in the dictionary and it says offensive line coach, mm-hmm. there's a picture of Mike Tice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's what he was meant to do. And so I can understand him wanting to go back to do that. Now, Kennedy Poehler, a lateral move – going to a division rival, mm-hmm. that's kind of surprising.
Well, I asked Kennedy about it, and he told me he wanted to grow, which means that he wanted to become either an offensive coordinator in the NFL or a head coach in college. By the way, I think he would be a fabulous college head coach, especially out west. He has a real network, a real pipeline with the island kids, the Hawaiian kids, the Samoan kids. You know, and that's a major part of their
which is producing some fantastic football players.
Absolutely, and that is a
did
major.
Did you see the 60 Minutes piece, by the way?
I did not.
I didn't either, but I saw that they were doing a story on that.
That's a major part of the recruiting base of the Western schools, in the Mountain Western.
BYUs,
what's that called?
USC's.
The Mountain West Conference and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the whole West Coast.
Absolutely. I think he would be a fabulous candidate for one of those jobs. Kennedy felt blocked here. He, at one time, was going to be the offensive coordinator here, and then that fell through, and Dirk Cutter became the offensive coordinator, and I think that had always been a sore spot for him.
Sure.
He knew he was an integral part of Jack's staff. He knew he was valued and appreciated by Jack Del Rio. He knew that he was respected around the league,
And he was offered an extension.
Yes, and he didn't sign it, which was a scoop that we delivered on this air when Jack Del Rio availed himself to us a couple weeks ago, and I asked him on the air what's up with Coach Pola, and he told us. Kennedy sees, obviously has to see this move to the Titans as an opportunity to pursue his goal. He's going to have Chris Johnson. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
He's going to be working for a high-profile coach. He's going to be working.
Chairman of the league's competition committee, Jeff Fisher.
Exactly. Stable, secure environment.
Team that runs the ball.
It's change. You know, it's just change.
Which is sometimes good.
And he probably sees it as something that's going to it's going to give him greater visibility. Mike Tice, I really think this is simple, and I think you've already hit on it. Here, he was the coach of three guys. In Chicago, he'll be the coach of 10 guys. Mike needed a greater involvement. He's too dynamic of a coach to be limited to three guys. He was the tight ends coach. When you are the offensive line coach, in many ways, you are
a coordinator.
Yes, because you are coordinating.
That's right.
I mean, you are coordinating five guys up front, and you know, you play a lot more offensive linemen than you do running backs or linebackers. I mean, you constantly have guys getting hurt, and you've got to have jars on the shelf. You've got to have guys developed. Offensive line coaches truly are worth
gold. It's kind of a brotherhood. I mean, they have called the mushroom society, where it's the offensive line coaches in college and pro football. I don't know if it's college, but I know it's pros. And they kind of got their own little fraternity.
So one of the little things that's being said here, and I want to put my spin on this, is I'm getting a lot of emails, people saying, well, Mike Tice went to the Bears, left the Jaguars to make a lateral move because he knows that Jack Del Rio is up against a mandate and he could be out of a job next year. Hey, Lovie Smith has security? is anyone going to tell me that Lovie Smith has any more security, that situation in Chicago is any more secure than what we have here
in
Jacksonville?
I'm not going to tell
you that. No. So I think we need to not look too deep on this. I think it's really as simple as it has been told to us. One coach wants to grow, and the other one wanted a deeper involvement.
And then the last one. The most recent one, Ted Monachino reportedly fired. And Joe Cullen, former Detroit Lions defensive line coach, who has a history. I think obviously that would be a nice way of putting it. He had a run-in with the law when he was a coach with the Detroit Lions and apparently had a drinking problem. He's been sober for 3.5 years now. I think the three together make a lot of people raise their eyebrows. If it was just a couple, I mean, that's just kind of, it happens in coaching. I mean, heck, you know how the coaching business is. They're like gypsies a lot of time. But the last one, you know, certainly will make people raise their eyebrows.
Yeah, I'll start with Coach Cullen, who I don't know, have never met. So I can offer nothing in the way of information on him other than his reputation as a defensive line coach is very solid. But the real issue with him is that two DUIs. I believe he has two DUIs, and the second one resulted in him driving through a Wendy's drive-through window in the buff, in the raw.
Birthday suit.
It's not something that we do a lot of. And I'm sure that whatever explanation there is.
The one thing, though.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. but the one thing I guess you could say, and that, yes, you got to give people second chances. Yes, he has been sober for 3.5 years now. And the commissioner did endorse him getting a second chance. And the commissioner, we know how he is now. He does not provide a lot of lateral leeway for people that have made mistakes. And so obviously the commissioner has felt that, hey, he's been punished enough. It's now time to let him have another opportunity. And here comes his opportunity in Jacksonville.
Now, when I read this one, Joe Cullen is a very good coach. So before we go to the break, I'll try to get this in, Joe. When I read this one, here's my little spin on this one. This is Jack Del Rio, in my opinion, saying, I acknowledge the mandate I'm up against. And it isn't going to do me any good to win the popularity contest at this point. I got to win the games. I got to win the games. Whether it's with a guy who's got some baggage or with a guy who doesn't have baggage, it doesn't matter. I got to win the game, the games. I got to get to the playoffs. And Joe Cullen is a guy who's going to help me get there.
And maybe a chance to improve upon what he termed the greatest weakness with his football team, and that's rushing the passer.
Right.
So there might have been a little roll
of the
dice there.
That's what his strength is, teaching me the pass rush.
All right, folks, when you're looking for a department store discount and style, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 7 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. Once you go, you get it. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the brand-new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Jeff Logum and Vic Ketchman riding, I guess you could say, partners here in Jaguars This Week. And we talked about the Jaguars coaching staff. You had a thought.
Yeah, I want to touch. I just want to spend 1 minute on Ted Monachino because I think he's an interesting study.
Line coach who was reportedly fired.
Yeah. Ted, in my opinion, is the best example or a very, very good example of it's what you coach, not how you coach. And here's what I'm trying to say. At Arizona State, Ted made his reputation and got his job here for having coached Terrell Suggs.
Hmm.
Okay? 24 sacks. Didn't he have 24 sacks 1 year at his senior year at Arizona State?
He was a great player.
Yes. Okay. So Terrell Suggs will get you a move up. He'll get you a pro job. All right? Teddy, good guy.
Very good.
Really
guy.
Sorry to see him go.
Liked him a lot.
I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think he might have made a mistake here. I think he got a little energetic for Derek Harvey. I think he beat the drum for him coming out of college, coming out of Florida. I think he gave him a great endorsement and in the process then attached himself to him and became almost responsible for him as much as a scout would be. I could be wrong about this, but that's the way I'm reading it. And now he's taking the fall, in my opinion. He's taking the fall for a Harvey's lack of sacks. Unfortunately, he gets the blame for Harvey, but he doesn't appear to be getting the credit for Knighton.
I'm with you.
You see what I'm saying?
I know I'm with
you. Because it's the pass rush that we're all focused on here. That's the biggest problem with this team. That's the big failing with this team, the pass rush, and it's coming down on Ted. So the same guy who coached Terrell Suggs
and Terrence Knighton,
okay, is the coach of Derek Harvey. Well, wait a minute. If he was good enough to if Terrell Suggs was the result of Ted Monachino's coaching, you see what I'm saying?
No,
if he's good enough to coach him, then he should be good enough to coach Derek Harvey.
I got you totally.
But it's the nature of the beast. You are what you coach. Not how you coach. You are what you coach. If you're lucky and you got Chris Johnson or Maurice Jones-Drew or Adrian Peterson, hey, you
Adrian Peterson in that category, though? Oh, he fumbled the ball.
No. Jeff, the Saints were scared to death of him. If you can find a way to glue the ball to his hands,
he would be unbelievable.
Oh, my God. What a terrible, terrible goof by Brad Childress. He could have controlled that game, dominated the time of possession, which he already did anyhow.
Every Saints player that came in on Adrian Peterson went for the ball. That tells you something.
They're afraid to hit him. And also, he has a fumbling reputation.
He's got a reputation, right. And it paid off.
Yeah. You know what? I saw a couple guys come in on him, too, and you know what they did? They closed their eyes.
Oh, he's a great player. He's a great player. He just fumbles the ball. And with that, now let's talk about the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl this week, first time ever held the week before the Super Bowl in South Florida, not in Honolulu. And you have, 14 players from the Saints and the Colts that will not participate in the game. And then you have numerous players who decline to go to the Pro Bowl. Probably the most that has ever happened in the history of the Pro Bowl, possibly. I don't know the exact numbers, but I would guess that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And David Garrard, named to the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Good for the team.
You betcha.
good for the team.
Jaguars helmet is going to be under center on Sunday.
Absolutely. But what does that do to the Pro Bowl? Or has the Pro Bowl's reputation already fallen off the chart?
The second one. Look, we're recognizing the fact that the Pro Bowl isn't much of a game. We have largely ignored it for years and years as it deteriorated because it was in Hawaii and they dressed it up with hula dancers and aloha shirts. You know, those goofy looking shirts with the flowers all over them.
They look like Easter bunnies. I've got a couple.
So they dressed it up with hula dancers and aloha shirts and they sent it into six time zones away or whatever it is. And we really didn't. And, you know, the flow of copy, the news copy that was coming this way wasn't much. It didn't have much visibility, the game. And because it didn't have much visibility.
It does now.
Right.
But.
Now, Joe, can you look this up? I forgot to do it before we came on the air. Did I see that they sold out today? That the game sold out?
I haven't heard.
Anyhow, I'm going to watch ticket sales. I'm going to watch ratings. This controversy that has been created by all of these replacement players playing in the game and dipping down so deep into the stock of replacement players. Let me say this, folks.
Vince Young?
This is not new stuff. This isn't Vince Young's first Super Bowl or a Pro Bowl, by the way.
No, I know. But, I mean, Vince Young didn't even quarterback his football team until midway.
Cordell Stewart quarterbacked two Pro Bowls. And he's, by and large, considered a joke of a quarterback. This is not new stuff. I don't know if Dan Marino ever played one of these games. He made like 10 of them and declined every one of them. I mean, this is not new. This is more of the same. Now, Jeff, yesterday I have a best friend who is on the Hall of Fame selection committee. So I called him yesterday and I asked him, how much stock do you put in Pro Bowl appearances in selecting a guy for induction to the Hall of Fame?
Let me ask you this, though, about the question. Was it Pro Bowl appearances or Pro Bowl selections? Because there's a difference. No.
There's a difference, but they don't make the distinction.
Okay.
So he told me.
So David will have on his resume
Pro Bowl
2009.
Right.
Or 10.
Okay. I don't think David is going to be a Hall of Fame candidate when his career is over. I don't see that happening.
No,
so this
no.
is not, it's not as though this is something that is going to create a great unfairness. All right. The interesting guy, though, is Ben Roethlisberger. He almost certainly, with two Super Bowl titles and he'll have a ton of yards, will be a Hall of Fame candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He declined to play in this game because he was not elected to the game as Brady, Rivers, and Manning were. They will get credit for having a Pro Bowl selection for merely having been selected. But the replacement players, the alternates who declined, will not get credit. So in other words, Roethlisberger, if he had accepted, would have one more Pro Bowl on his resume, but it will not appear now because an alternate he declined, whereas as an alternate Girard accepted, and he will have it on his resume. So what my buddy told me was, look, we don't put much stock in Pro Bowls anymore because we know about all of this, I'm not going to call it deceit, but all of this, you know, replacement stuff going on. We understand that the game doesn't have the bite it used to have. When a player is nominated and is considered for induction to the Hall of Fame, he'll have a guy from his hometown stand up and do a pitch for him. And he might have a guy who doesn't like him do a pitch against him. And they will make all of this known to the selection committee, that he really wasn't elected, he was a replacement, so don't put too much stock in this. It's not as though they look at the resume and they say, six Pro Bowl selections. Okay, put him in. It doesn't work that way. So it's just a game. It's just a game. It's a meaningless game. I really don't see why people have to get all bent out of shape about it. But if they do get all bent out of shape about it, the league likes it because it's creating controversy and visibility that is helping the league sell it.
All right, it's creating controversy. It's creating visibility because people are still in that football mode because the Super Bowl typically wraps up people's football frame of mind.
Yeah, and by the way, David Girard does not have an incentive based on a Pro Bowl appearance, only a Pro Bowl election. So if he had been one of the three quarterbacks originally elected to the game, he would get incentives added to his contract. He would get money. Because he's a replacement player, he does not get that money.
All right, yes or no answer from you real quick. Having seen what's happened with the Pro Bowl this year, does the league go back to this format in the future, or do they go back to the format to where it's after the Super Bowl?
Can we answer that question next Wednesday? Let's see how the game goes.
Yes, we can. All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, and we'll be right back. Back on Jaguars this week, and Joe Fortunato did a little research. Joe, what'd you come up with there on the Pro Bowl?
It is sold out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the highest rating, highest attendance since 1959, back when it was in L.A.
L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah.
I saw, when I was a kid, I remember a Pro Bowl, Johnny Unitas was the MVP, and they called it outstanding back, outstanding lineman. I think Johnny Unitas was the outstanding back, and I think Big Daddy Lipscomb was the outstanding lineman. 35-31, Unitas' team won. Just a fabulous game. And these truly were the best players, and they played hard. But there was a reason for that. In those days, those guys didn't make much money, and this game represented money that they needed. This is money. All players worked in the offseason then. They had jobs that they had to work to be able to pay the bills. So it's just a different dynamic nowadays. You can't expect players to play hard like they did back then because these guys, you know, the old saying, it's tough to get out of bed in the morning when you're wearing silk pajamas.
All right, so I had asked you, with what the game has done this year, players bowing out, tickets, mm-hmm. you know, hey, sold out.
Sold out.
What will the league do in the future?
Well,
all about the money?
Got more than 70,000 people are going to be at this game this Sunday. And let's keep an eye on the ratings, TV ratings. If the TV ratings go up,
then it may stay.
Why would you change anything?
All right, well, let me throw out another suggestion. Because obviously this was done trying to make the two-week gap between championship games and the Super Bowl to make it an event, make it an attraction. Here I am this week at home, and I'm watching the NFL Network, which is doing a great job of covering some of the Pro Bowl events, but they're also covering the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And they'll do the Combine.
Why not have... Because you're having an issue with getting players there. Why not have the Senior Bowl at the host city site the week before the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you've got personnel people, the coaches are there, the attraction of the college stars.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have an issue with getting those players there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted to, you could do the Pro Bowl the week after the Super Bowl and hopefully retain some of the Super Bowl participants for that game.
I like that idea, except for one thing. I have long believed that the final football we see of any season should be the final seconds of the Super Bowl. Anything after San Antonio Holmes' catch in the Super Bowl last season is the most anticlimactic finish you could possibly have to any season. I mean, come on. How could you play a football game? How could you have a football game that more closely resembles an OTA practice the week after last year's Super Bowl or the week after the previous year's Super Bowl between the Giants and the Patriots?
Well, now, college goes for a long time between your last game and your bowl game. Could they go 3 weeks before the Super Bowl?
No. College is college. Hey, and those bowl games were great, weren't they? Yeah.
Could you do 3 weeks?
No, you couldn't do 3 weeks. Let's just let this play out and see where it is. I like Jeff's idea, and I'd like to get rid of the Pro Bowl, the game itself. I don't see why they just can't let the guys get selected, and that's it. And then have an awards type of weekend a week after the Super Bowl, like the ESPYs or the Heisman Trophy presentation.
I'm with you.
Where the people are just standing up and saying, now.
But if it's a sold out stadium.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Can you hear me rubbing my fingers now, together? That's money.
This is a game that has lost money for a long time. If they make money this year, it ain't going away. And if they make the money this year, it'll be for two reasons. One, it was played as the lead-in to the Super Bowl when people are still fixated, still hooked, and addicted to football and haven't shut it down. And number two, I think it's better... on the mainland, I think it's better here. It has more visibility and more guys can get to it and cover it than in Hawaii.
But if the state of Hawaii is going to pony up well, I'm sure, a sizable amount of money, and they take it back to Hawaii, put the Senior Bowl at the host city site the week before the Super Bowl, because right now it's in Mobile. I mean,
I'm with
you. Anybody going to travel to Mobile to watch the Senior Bowl?
I mean, this
is the future stars of the NFL.
I like the idea. You know, college football had a little gold mine for years and years that it didn't identify, and I'm talking about the Heisman Trophy. Somebody had a brainstorm. Let's turn the Heisman Trophy presentation into a TV show.
And it's worked.
And it's doing well, and it's growing in appeal and in ratings every year. The NFL could do the same thing. It would be their own version of the ESPYs, you know. And now,
so they would hold the announcement until the day of the event.
Imagine an NFL Academy Award, so to speak. And now, in the category of best catch of the year, the nominees are Santonio Holmes for his catch in Super Bowl, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
The David Tyree, blah 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 blah.
So
you know,
turn it into a televised event instead of an athletic event.
Yes, exactly. But 70,000 tickets.
Can you sell 70,000 tickets in an auditorium?
No. 70,000 tickets speak loudly.
But could you sell enough advertising on television to make it worthwhile?
Hey, you never know. People were screaming about a loss of integrity of the game. Hey, come on. This game hasn't had integrity or prestige for a long time. Nothing is lost because David Garrard is playing in the game.
All right, let's go ahead and hit the phones. We've been neglecting them. And Sean from Arlington wants to talk about compensatory picks. Good evening, Sean.
How's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
Other than the Jaguars being in the Super Bowl, I think the next greatest thing would probably be being in the draft room with Gene.
I would love to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be in any draft room.
I'm just happy to be here.
I think it'd be exciting, just seeing how all their work just comes into one and seeing what they pick.
Mm-hmm. It would be because you wouldn't have somebody like Gene Smith wouldn't play to the cameras. Now, the television cameras in the draft room with Jerry Jones, it's kind of a production with Jerry.
Yeah,
right. I was wanting to ask how many compensatory picks are we going to have because of all the guys that we let go of last year that's been signed? And
well,
I'll take that off the air.
How many guys?
All right, thanks, Sean.
How many guys do you think were let go? Let go and
signed.
For instance, Matt Jones does not count because he was cut. He didn't make it
Matt
to free
Jones,
agency.
Reggie Williams.
Matt Jones doesn't count. Reggie Williams counts because he made it to free agency.
Khalif Barnes.
Khalif Barnes counts.
Gerald Sensabaugh.
There's two more. Pearson.
Sensabaugh will get him one.
Sensabaugh, Pearson Prelo, Reggie Williams, and Khalif Barnes. I think I'm missing one. No, I'm missing one. Sensabaugh was signed. Mike Peterson counts. He was signed. Khalif Barnes counts. He was signed.
Three.
Pearson Prelo.
Four.
Counts. He was signed. Reggie Williams, this is where the big loss was.
Was not signed.
Because of that fiasco in a nightclub as free agency was beginning and he wound up on a floor being tasered. He was not signed by anybody this year, so he doesn't count. The Jaguars lost four, and they signed two, Trey Thomas and Sean Considine. Now, none of the four guys they lost, Peterson, Sensabaugh, Barnes, and Prelo, were home run acquisitions. So you got four minor guys against two minor guys. You are at a minus two, and my guess is it's going to get the Jaguars one, maybe two, but I think one compensatory pick probably in
Who
the sixth or seventh
that?
Round.
Who determines that?
Ultimately, the commissioner, although there's a committee that does it.
All right. With that, we'll take a break. And don't forget, Just Eck watches are available at Espline Jewelers. Very nice watches. We gave them out to the Players of the Year on radio all year long. Wouldn't mind having one myself, but I didn't get one. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union. A job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Jeff Loggeman with Vic Ketchman for the sexless Jaguars This Week.
That's, oh, yes.
Without Brian Sexton. And we talked about the Pro Bowl. We talked about the Jaguars coaching staff changes. We haven't talked much about the Senior Bowl, but NFL Network is doing a very good job, I think. And obviously, you know, the one thing that has surprised me about some of the coverage related to the Senior Bowl is that I knew that, I don't want to get on this, but I knew that Tim Tebow was going to be a story at the Senior Bowl from our perspective here. But I didn't really understand how big of a national story that it would be, and it certainly has become that.
For reasons other than football.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we're not going to go there. But it certainly is entertaining to watch on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed it. And I think the NFL Network does a great job. And that's what made me think of having the Senior Bowl, if the Pro Bowl goes back to its traditional place, to have the Senior Bowl at the site of the Super Bowl location. I think it would be a great idea. Just an idea.
There's lots of things you can plug into this week. And, I'll give you another thing you could plug into this week very, very nicely. High profile. The combine. The combine has turned into an event, a major event.
Well, I mean, Vic, it is for you and for the people that really get into the draft, but I think mainstream, no.
You're probably not. No, when you say mainstream, what you're really talking about, the casual fans.
Yes.
The casual fans are the ones you want. Those are the ones you want. They determine the success or failure of an event. That's why I really believe that the casual fan doesn't want to get into the real specifics. But if you put a presentation together, you know, like an Academy Awards kind of thing where you're giving awards, people love lists.
You'd have to hold the cat in the bag for a long time.
Yeah, but imagine if the MVP of the season was awarded at a presentation, just like the best actor of the year.
I like your idea, and I think by doing it that way, for one, you could create a television attraction, but also you could make the voting occur later. Mm-hmm. Because right now, the voting occurs before the season is over, and I don't think that's right.
The game is just... Yuck, it stinks.
No, the game is not very good.
It's not very good. I got to tell you a couple of funny stories as related to me a long time ago by one of your heroes, Jack Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He was playing in the game when Jim Haslett was elected to the game either as a rookie or a second-year player, very young player, and Haslett looked up to Lambert, and Haslett is puppy-dogging Lambert the whole week. Wherever Lambert goes, Haslett is, you know, hanging on to him, and he's feeling like a big shot, you know. So Lambert knows he's got one on the hook. All week long, he tells him, don't worry. He says, we're going to split snaps all week long. He says, it's a nothing game, you know. You won't even be tired. Just come on, let's go out here. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, all week long, they're tearing it up. Day of the game, Lambert starts the game, one play. Oh, my hamstring. And Haslett has to go the rest of the game. Lambert sits on the bench. Haslett goes to the rest of the game. By the second half, Haslett was throwing up. All right. And one more story. This is one of my favorites. It was a time in the 77 game when Lambert found himself in the huddle with seven of his Steeler teammates on defense. And he started calling Steeler defensive plays. And he says, you other three guys, just stay out of the way. So, I mean, that's the kind of game it has been.
Yeah.
It's the kind of game where guys make things up. They just freelance. It becomes a backyard kind of game. So let's not get all, you know, crazy, like something is being lost here. Nothing's being lost.
All right, your thoughts on the championship games. Mine, real quick, on the Jets and Colts game. What a great first half for the Jets. I never thought that they would get to where they were. And I think it's a tremendous job of coaching by Rex Ryan. But Peyton Manning, you just felt that at some point they just can't hold him back forever.
Rex Ryan just did a fabulous job this year, but I was not fond of his game plan or his offensive coordinator's game plan on Sunday. With 8:52 left in the game and they're down by two scores, they're still trying to establish the run on first down. The one time in the game when they threw that deep touchdown pass on first down, they got the corner to bite on play action he comes up, the Braylon Edwards goes right
by.
Yeah, they
got the rookie.
And then it's just after that, it's run on first down, run on first down. And they put the Colts in a situation where the Colts could play run on every first down. They just became ultra, ultra predictable. And I think if Rex Ryan had to do it all over again, he wouldn't be afraid of his rookie quarterback nearly as much as they appear to be in that game. I didn't think it was their most shining moment of the season.
No, but in the first half, at the end of the first half, you were going, uh-oh.
Yes, because, Jeff,
But they didn't put it in. Me and Joe were talking earlier. They had a chance there when they got that one, what was it, an interception or a fumble, and they couldn't get it in the end zone. They had to close out the first half, which could have been, what, a 20-3 lead.
Yep.
20-6, I think.
20-6, and it didn't happen. And then you're like, oh, boy, that's the window that Peyton and the Colts need.
Well, you know, the Colts, wonderful season, the whole bit. But let's not forget now, they've breezed through the playoffs against two wild card teams. They beat the 5th and 6th seeds. That's got to be the easiest road to the Super Bowl any team has ever faced. Two teams that were really poor in offense. This is their season, obviously. This is a Super Bowl. They're going up against the other team that was undefeated for most of the year. I think the better team lost on Sunday in the NFC. This is a game here the Colts will be tested.
Who do you think?
I'm still going to go with the Colts because I think that Manning is a better quarterback than Drew Brees.
I don't necessarily – I mean, I agree with you in that Peyton has been able to do it for so long and that Drew Brees has really come on late. But you know what keeps popping into my mind was that game against the New England Patriots, a Monday night game in New Orleans, and Drew Brees just lit them up.
I will say this. If the Saints get the same pressure on Manning that they got on Favre, Saints win.
They hammered them.
Greg Williams,
but they should have won that game going away with the 5 takeaways or whatever it was that they had in that ball game. They should have won it going away.
The better team lost, Jeff, on Sunday in the NFC. The better team lost.
What about Brett Favre? Were you like me? And that the last drive of the game, the first thing that comes out of my mouth, I'm sitting there and me and my mom were watching it. And I told Mom, I said, Mom, please don't let Brett Favre throw an interception here. And he did.
Well, it's what he's done for so long.
And he did. Oh, I hated it for him. I hated it for all my cousins up there in North Dakota and Minnesota.
That's right.
They were depressed. But it should make for an exciting Super Bowl. Two high-flying teams. All right, we'll talk to you next week where Sexton will be back, and we'll all be here. We'll talk to you then.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.